Weight loss. It's such a tricky thing. And I absolutely hate the fact that we go into the doctor's office, they take our weight, they tell us our BMI, whatever the case may be. Is it bad? Is it good? Is it embarrassing? Is it D, all the above, at different points of our lives? Yes. I remember getting life insurance, and I was literally a month off of pregnancy, and she wanted to pull my medical records, and the last test I had was when I was pregnant. So I have all these huge pregnancy weight fluctuations, and needless to say, I still don't have life insurance because we can't pinpoint what my weight is. It's such a tricky thing, and weight loss is something that I'm not going to ever market because it can be that tricky. I know so many people who eat right, exercise, and in their words, they still look like a couch potato when I know that they're not. They know that they're not. Then you know those other individuals who are stick figures, who look like Barbies, but deep down their health is a mess. And they eat whatever the heck they want and nothing goes on them. It's just really tricky. There's a reason why when you type weight loss or diet into Google, you get 85 trillion responses. If weight loss was a simple thing, there wouldn't be 90 million programs out there. So what does affect weight loss? How can your next weight loss journey be successful, both short-term and long-term? Let's dive in with Karen, who is a weight loss coach. And what she does is she helps you not only lose weight, but get healthy while you're at it. And one of the trickiest things is balancing those hormones. So she's going to teach us a couple tips and tricks that you can use right now to help your hormones be balanced, stabilized. So not only can you lose weight, but you can feel like yourself again. Let's dive in. All right, guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a special treat for you today because it's January. It's the start of the new year and everybody's focused on weight loss. Maybe this year we're all excited that 2020 is over. But for those of you who are struggling with weight, who have tried every diet under the sun, there's a big secret about weight loss. And I want Karen to share it with us today because she specializes in women's weight loss and hormone health. As a transformational coach, she also hosts the podcast, The Other Side of Weight Loss. So go check that out. And Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Kylie.
Hello. You have your own weight loss story. And I know there are many listeners who have tried, who have typed in weight loss in Google. They see the 85 trillion results and they wonder, where do they begin?
It's so true. And January, everybody, it's like, it's so funny that we're so cliche. It's January. I mean, even I do it. It's like January hits and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I better throw out all the baked goods that I just ate and then all the chocolate boxes that I still am working my way through. And I just tossed it all the other day because it was like, okay, time to get back on track here.
I told myself it's January. I need to start getting back on track. And then I open up my cupboard and there's all this holiday junk food. Oh man, I gotta still eat this too.
So true. Oh, so my story, I think, is like so many women's, which I feel like we don't talk about. No one's talking about this, which is something called weight loss resistance. When I had my daughter, it was, you know, I got pregnant, gained a bunch of weight, lost it through the breastfeeding time. And then when I was done that, it slowly, my body weight started to increase. And I've always been a really healthy person. So I was like, okay, what's going on here? And like you said, I was Googling, you know, weight loss and diets. And at that time it was going raw vegan. So I did that for a while. And then it came out that it was Atkins, so complete opposite. So I did Atkins. I did the Zone diet. I started doing cleansing and detoxing. And my body only continued to gain weight. And it was like a year or two into this. And I was like, okay, maybe it's exercise. Maybe I have to start running. You know, this is what everybody's telling me that I need to do out there in this, you know, social media world. I joined one of the toughest like fitness boot camps in my city. I got a personal trainer. I was doing everything right. I was working out 6 days a week. I was trying to run because I thought that was going to be the answer. I was trying every diet under the sun and I just continued to gain weight. And I was 33 at this time. So nobody was saying to me like, oh, maybe it's, or even the internet, nothing was telling me that, hey, it could be your hormones. And because I'm 33, if I'd gone to my doctor, they would just say, you know, well, you're eating too much. You need to calorie restrict more and you need to work out more. I mean, still to this day, that's what we're being told. Mm-hmm. But nothing worked. And I just kept digging into the research because I was like, there's something going on. Because it wasn't just weight gain. I was also having severe PMS. I was having severe menstrual migraines that would last for 10 days. I was getting this really bloated stomach after I ate, even though I was eating, you know, so-called healthy foods. And I was like, and I was getting food sensitivities. I would get the skin rash from certain foods that I was eating. So, and chronic insomnia. So I was getting all of this within months happened to me. And I'm like, what is going on? So I started digging into the research and I thought, you know what? Maybe, just maybe this is hormonal. And I went to a naturopath and I ended up getting, a saliva hormone test done and realized that, you know, my estrogen was super high. My progesterone was super low. Cortisol was also extremely low. So here I was, you know, going to these boot camps and working my ass off and, you know, running and doing all these things that tax the adrenal system. So I was doing everything wrong in order for my body to be able to lose weight. So I had to do this like complete mind shift and go, okay, what's going on here? Like I gotta back off of that stuff. I started doing yoga. I started to balance my hormones through diet. I ended up, you know, discovering a paleo-based diet, which was amazing. Didn't help me lose weight at the time, but it definitely got rid of like a lot of the stomach bloat, stabilized my blood sugar. I felt like, oh, this is my diet. And still to this day, that's how I eat because that's what works so well for me. But the real thing was that I had to balance my hormones. And I thought, how many other women right now are going through the same thing that I went through that are doing it all right? They are exercising, they're eating well, they're doing what everybody's, you know, telling them to do. And they're not losing weight. And it can be so hard on the person because A, nobody believes them. Everyone looks at them like they're being this, they must be closet eating.
They're a couch potato and all they do is sit on the couch and binge on
eat
food,
cookies.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. When so many of these women, and I've worked with thousands of them now, they all tell me the same story. Oh my gosh, Karen, you're right. Like, I do everything right. I've been following a ketogenic diet. I've been intermittent fasting. I've done the HCG diet. I've done veganism. I've done this. I've done that. And yet I can't lose any weight, or I lose a couple pounds and then it stops and I can't lose any more. And you go on these forums on Facebook, you know, in the keto groups and the fasting groups, and it's harsh what people are saying to other women who are having these problems. And it's always the same response. You're not doing it right. I just saw one this morning. You're not in ketosis, then you're not doing it right, or you'd be losing weight.
Yeah.
It's all calorie in, calorie out. You need to lower your carb. You need to fast more.
Yeah. Fertility is the same way. You can't get pregnant. Well, then just go lose weight. Like, you know how many diets they've tried to lose weight and it's not successful.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. It is. Yeah. And then, so women will tend to then look for the next best diet. That, you know, that they always look to the food, they look to the workout program. Nobody's saying, well, maybe it's hormonal, or very few people are saying maybe it's hormonal. And as a woman ages, when we're in our 30s, is when our hormones start to begin to deplete. Our progesterone naturally starts to come down. Some women, it's faster than others. So for myself, it was going very quickly. My progesterone was going down. And even now at 44, I have no progesterone and a ton of estrogen. So, you know, at 44, doctors wouldn't tell you that. Doctors wouldn't have said, oh, you're going to go into perimenopause at 42. Mm-hmm. And, but that's what my body did. And we're seeing it more and more with women. And I think just from all of our environmental toxins and what's happening, women are getting more hormonal imbalances than ever before.
Puberty, they're hitting puberty way early too. You're seeing 9, 10 year olds starting their periods and gaining all those hormones that come with it. That shouldn't be happening until 13, 14, but now it's so much earlier. So Karen, you said a couple of things here. One, talk to us about adrenal fatigue and why exercise is not good for it.
Mm-hmm. So when your body is down-regulating your cortisol, it's usually because your cortisol was going too high for too long. And what's interesting is at the time, I was just living the life like every other North American woman was. I would never have thought of myself as a stressed out person. I, even though I was running my own business, I was a single mother of a little girl. You know, I had all those stressors and I was working out like crazy too. And when you do any type of cardio, your adrenal system has to pump out cortisol. So there I was living a stressed out life, doing everything on my own. I had very little help, running my own business and working out. So my stress levels were high, even though I would not have considered it high at the time. And so the body started to down-regulate my cortisol and put me into that state of adrenal insufficiency. And the worst thing a woman can do when she's in that state is to tax the adrenal system farther with cardio and with other stressors in her life, right? Because if you're going out there and trying to run and do boot camp an hour every day, your body's having to pump out what's left of that little bit of cortisol, and you're using it all up in that workout. But you're basically putting your body into this state of that fight or flight state all the time. And what happens when that happens? A couple different things. One, of course, we get the weight around the middle. It depletes your progesterone. So when your cortisol is high all the time, your progesterone will actually start to go down as well, which mine did. And so all of these little factors make it hard to lose weight. When cortisol goes up, blood glucose goes up as well, because your body thinks it either needs to fight or flight. So your body needs quick energy, so it's going to spike the glucose in the system so that you can do that. You can run or fight. So a lot of people don't realize that the sugar, the blood sugar, actually goes up when you stay in that high cortisol state, or even if you're going into low cortisol as well.
Yeah. So if you were to look at the food chain of hormones, is what I call it, cholesterol is the top of the food chain, and it has two options. It can get broken down and go left or go right. If it goes left, it's going to get produced into progesterone, which can then get produced into cortisol. So if your body's having to make so much cortisol, progesterone is naturally going to go down because it's stealing from that production. If it goes right, then it makes testosterone and estrogen, which can also get stolen as well. So pretty cool stuff. When I recommend to people, hey, you should probably stop running your guts out. You should probably turn that gym pass off. It's like I'm speaking blasphemy.
Yeah. No,
it's going to be better for your health in the long run. Take 6 months and just break, pause. I love how you mentioned yoga. You can still do exercise, but just do something more mild. Running a 5K isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah. And there's a lot, you know, when you look at a woman's cycle, if women could not only eat to their cycle, but also work out to their cycle. And this also goes for menopausal women too. What's happening hormonally to you, you actually become very sensitive to cortisol. So if you are, you know, in your 40s, 50s, and you're heading into menopause, going out and doing a ton of cardio and HIIT is the exact thing you should not be doing. You can do that, you know, once or twice a week, but weight loss wise, you're that will make you retain weight because of what's happening hormonally to you. So you have to do things like weightlift, yoga, walking in nature, like things that are not going to tax that adrenal system. And then people will lose weight. And it's so funny because I'll tell people that. I'll be like, because at the time I stopped doing all of that hardcore training and I just did yoga for like a year or 2 years and I lost the weight. And so, yeah, people think, what are you talking about? And they don't like hearing it. My members hate it when I'm like, you are working out too much. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, that's why you're not losing weight. Your body's holding on to it. You're doing the exact wrong thing for your hormones.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to lose the weight. And that just blows their mind.
I know, right? I'm 7-8 months postpartum now. And I maybe have gotten on my spin bike's my favorite thing. I love the spin bike because you can do the HIIT training type thing, I can be done in 30 minutes and have a pretty good workout. I've probably gotten on my bike like 4 times. And I'm not going to beat myself up about it because my hormones need to balance on their own. I'm not going to tax my body more. I get up way too many times at night. Yeah. That's enough stress in my life.
It is. And that in and of itself will raise cortisol. It will raise your blood sugar. So to go on top of that and then tax the system even more than being a mother to a child, a little baby, it's a recipe for disaster. You're just adding fuel to the fire of weight loss resistance, and you don't want that.
Yeah. Okay. You said a couple of the other things here. So adrenal fatigue, guys, ladies, exercise, it might not be the best thing for you. Tone it down if you need to. Okay. Then you said a saliva hormone test. And I caught that because saliva hormone testing is by far better than any blood test. Why saliva?
Yeah, there's so much controversy over how to test hormones. And I'm sure you know this, Kylie, Dr. Kylie. So saliva, you're going to be testing what's called available hormone levels. Yes. When you test through blood, you're testing bound hormone levels. And it just means that it's bound to a protein called sex hormone binding globulin. When it's bound to that protein, your body can only utilize a very, very small amount of it. So it's better to test the available levels because that's what's available for your body to use. So you can get a very mix-matched results. Like, so if somebody did serum and somebody did saliva, you can get complete opposite results. Now, that is definitely for the cycling woman. You want to either be doing saliva or urine testing. Now, urine, you're going to be testing the metabolites, what's breaking down, which will also give you an idea of the levels of hormones that are in the system. So that's a great way. But once again, it's a completely different. Ideally, you'd actually want to test all three of these, but very few people can afford to do all three.
Yeah.
Serum, as you age and your hormones start to become depleted and you're going into menopause, serum is much, then it can be more accurate because it will reflect. When there's no hormones, even bound ones. So you will see a reflection in the serum of what's happening in the body when you are closer or into menopause. So serum then can be just fine. You can also be testing your follicular stimulating hormone to see if you're going into menopause. So there is a place that can be ideal for the serum, which then definitely can tend to cost less than the other methods. But if you are a cycling woman, I definitely encourage women to go the saliva or the urine testing route because you're going to get more accurate.
Yeah. Okay. So broadcasting over what you just said, if you're menstruating, you have a cycle, saliva test is best. Then blood would be premenopausal to menopausal. Okay. And let's take this testing one step farther because I rarely test. I have the saliva kit sitting right there on my shelf, but I rarely use them. I pull people's medical records, and a lot of times gynecologists will take their blood, they'll get the progesterone, the testosterone, the estrogen, if they are a very well-trained gynecologist. Because sometimes they're like, oh, you have low T, let's just test your T, right? You're only getting one piece of the puzzle. Whereas, and then the second part of it is, what part of your cycle were you at when you got the blood test? Because that's going to play a huge role. Your estrogens should be high in the first part and your progesterone should be higher in the second part. It's so when I pull medical records, it's like I kind of basically have to throw the hormone levels out the window. So I don't know the background behind it, and very rarely do patients do. And then on top of it all, they're only getting testosterone or they're only getting progesterone. And hormones, they're a full system. And if you don't look at the whole system, you're missing a lot of puzzle pieces.
It amazes me how many doctors, I would say probably 90% of the blood work that clients have come to me with, when I say to them, because they're like, oh, I got my hormones tested. And I'm like, okay, you know, what day were these tested on? You know, this is before they met me, or else I would have told them what day, but they're always like, oh, I don't know. And it's like, oh, why do these doctors not tell you. No doctor ever told me to do it on a specific day or to pay attention to it when I was going to get it done.
Not even gynecologists, and they're supposed to be this hormone specialist.
Yes. And so if some woman goes and gets tested during her menstrual cycle and she's got her period, it's going to come out that she has no estrogen. She's got no progesterone. She's got no testosterone. If she happens to test it on day 12, it's going to look like she's got estrogen dominance because it's going to be way too high in you know, some people's eyes. But yeah, you need to do it. Ideally, you want to do it on day 21 of your cycle if you're going to be testing estrogen and progesterone specifically.
Cool. I always just say, make sure it's the latter half of your cycle. But like I said, I rarely have people test. So when it comes to testing hormones, here's what I would recommend. Karen, what would you recommend as well? So I recommend estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, get the main three, get DHEA, get a saliva panel cortisol. Blood cortisol does not work. And getting one stab of cortisol throughout the entire day is not. You need four pieces of the cortisol puzzle. Because your cortisol curve is literally a curve. It's going to be higher in the morning and light and lower at night so you can fall asleep. You need to know what your curve is doing. One piece of that puzzle is not going to be sufficient. And then I always love, you mentioned blood sugar. Got to get that blood sugar checked. Because if your blood sugar is even going up and down just a little teeny bit throughout the day, going from like, hey, 69 to 84 to 90 back to 74, just those little fluctuations can cause hormone chaos downstream. So Karen, what would you add to that, if anything?
So I have this kind of, a panel that I like to see women do, especially when it comes to weight loss. So same thing, the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and blood glucose, so hemoglobin A1C, your fasting blood glucose. Obviously, continuous blood glucose monitor is ideal, but those are so expensive. I can't wait for them to get cheap because I want to wear one all the time. and then I also ask that they get a full thyroid panel because oftentimes thyroid is misdiagnosed. It never get, you know, here in Canada, for instance, they refuse through our whole medical system to even test beyond TSH unless there's a problem with the TSH. So you can't even get free T3, free T4 done unless you pay out of pocket for it. There's not even a lab in Canada that will test reverse T3. So that's something that's really important to do. And I usually have to go through a private lab to get that for my clients. But I think it's such a key factor because it's so misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed in the medical system. And if you're struggling with weight loss resistance and not being able to lose that weight, and you've got other things going on, please test the thyroid. It's such a key hormone for so many things and has such an effect on all the other hormones. Like you said, they all work synergistically. So it is a very good idea to have them done. If somebody is a cycling woman and they want to just go through their doctor and get blood work done, you do it on day 21 in my world. And you can also get sex hormone binding globulin tested just to see, it can kind of give you a better idea of maybe what's available as far as hormones go or not available. And so that can help as well. But yeah, cortisol, useless to get with serum. I will get people to also do DHEA sometimes as well.
Nice. Yeah, that cortisol, they're like, I don't have adrenal fatigue. Look, my cortisol level in the blood sample is right there. I'm like, so?
Yeah.
So what? speaking of thyroid, I was actually had an opportunity on this past Monday to be on Fox 26 News in Houston, Texas.
Nice.
My living room because it's post COVID 2020.
Yeah.
You no longer have to be in studio to be on TV. So I actually taught how to approach the thyroid with the correct thyroid panel. And then not only that, but including the entire pathway that the thyroid is a piece of. The thyroid is the bottom, it's at the very bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the treatment. So if you treat upstream, like the stress, the inflammation, the pituitary, the adrenals, the hypothyroid, or the hypothalamus. So I taught all of this in literally 3 minutes on a TV segment. So I will post the link to that segment in the comments here, and then also in the show notes on the podcast. So it was kind of cool. I was like, I had to practice because literally, how do you get so much information in 3 minutes, but yet make it understandable?
Yeah. Yeah, very challenging.
It was cool. All right, so there's the difference between saliva and blood testing. You explained that really, really well. I'm probably going to steal your explanation.
No, good, think. Yeah.
Then you said also paleo is what worked for you. I want to key that. What works for you? So how did you go about discovering what the dietary plan was that worked for you personally?
Mm-hmm. I really try to encourage all women to find what I call is their weight loss code. And so that will involve a whole bunch of different things, like your digestive health, your hormone health, your stress levels, any sort of chronic infections involved. All of these things will help you to get the keys to unlock the weight on your body. And the biggest thing is finding the diet that works for you. And when I say diet, I don't mean the 30-day quick fix diet. I mean, what foods are best for a woman's body? And over the years, I've been in the health industry for over 20 years, and I've been practicing the paleo, you know, primal-based diets for over 10 years now. And I've, like I said before, I've tried it all, vegetarian, vegan, raw. And I've worked with so many women. And I'm always very open-minded. Like if somebody comes to me and they're vegan, I work with that. But what I've seen when it comes to weight loss resistance is that an anti-inflammatory or low inflammatory diet seems to work best when it comes to weight loss resistance. And that those diets tend to be on the primal spectrum. So whether it's, you know, keto, paleo, I'm not really big onto keto anymore because I've seen it damage a lot of women's metabolisms now. But, you know, when you take out these inflammatory foods, grains, beans, lots of the sugars, for a lot of women, the dairy, it does help most women to lose weight compared to other means of, you know, diets, basically other, you know, whether it's veganism or whatever, because those other diets tend to get more sugar, whether it's from, because that's what women don't tend to understand is, you know, a bowl of oatmeal in the morning, they think is so great for them. Well, oatmeal and skim milk, it's quite actually high in sugar. So you're spiking blood glucose. And you talk about this a lot. That's like the first chain of events is what's your blood sugar doing? We Yep. want to stabilize blood sugar. We get too much sugar in our environment, like from in our lives. Like
we're, That's
we
way
grew up in North America. It's so, like, were you not raised on sugar? I was, like cereal. And my mom was a low fat fanatic. So it was nothing but carbs. And yeah. I know that caused a lot of problems for my body. So it's not that carbs are bad, fat's good, carbs bad, or vice versa. It's really about, okay, where is your body at now? What is your body tolerating and what is it not tolerating? And for me, it ended up being paleo because I always had very crazy blood sugar, even though I was eating the healthy grains and doing what everybody was telling me to do. My body, like I would pack around snacks with me in my purse because I was always in fear of having a blood sugar crash. And it would happen within an hour or two of not eating. Like I would start to shake and start to get that hangry feeling. And I'd have to go get my purse and get my little bar out, my protein bar, and eat it. And so when I finally turned to paleo and I started to stabilize that blood sugar and eat foods that my body agreed with, and I didn't have a great digestive system. So there I was eating low inflammatory, lower carb, good fats. I never calorie count, never have.
Yes.
No calorie count ever. And those foods can create a natural caloric deficit without suffering, which is the beauty of it, because you're eating foods that stabilize your blood sugar. You're eating, you know, good healthy proteins with good fats in it, which, like you said, like it's your hormonal system depends on cholesterol. Where do we get cholesterol? From good fat. So to be eating those foods, to eat the protein. And what's funny is protein, animal protein in and of itself is the most nutrient dense foods, much more than vegetables. So eating the vegetables and fruits, that's great. And eating the protein is great. Eating the good fats is great. And for me, it was life changing to be able to eat these delicious foods that my body was like, yes, not have these blood sugar crashes anymore. I never have to pack a snack with me. And I haven't for 10 years. And I lost the weight effortlessly when I combine that with hormones and hormone balancing.
Mm, I love it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of calorie counting either. It's awful. Speaking of calorie counting, similar to it is like BMI, then also just getting on the scale. when it comes to getting on the scale, what do you recommend for people?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm a bit of a default. I'm a bit of a slave to the scale, but I don't recommend that other people be a slave to the scale. When you're in the process of finding your weight loss code, I do think women should weigh themselves once a week. Why? Because different foods will make a person gain inflammation within overnight or within a few days. Yep. And so you can get a good idea. So what I like to do is I start everybody with kind of a 4-week paleo base where you're removing these inflammatory foods, 4 weeks of that, no dairy. And then at the end of that 4 weeks, I want them to reintroduce some foods like, okay, you know, put back in some brown rice, put back in some oatmeal, put back in some gluten-free bread, whatever it is, some dairy, and weigh yourself. And watch, you know, you don't want to do it all at one time, but eat dairy for a couple of days and then look at the scale, because the scale is going to show you not fat gain. It's going to show you water retention. It's going to show you inflammation. And then you can also kind of tune into what else are you feeling? Do you suddenly feel tired because you ate those foods? If you feel great and there was no weight gain from it and no inflammation from it, then that's a food that you could put back into your diet. If not, if you do get a reaction from it, then you know that you have to remove it for a while longer, possibly indefinitely. And that's how you start to find, okay, what's working for me, what isn't. And you can even take it a step farther and do blood sugar testing, which is called carb tolerance testing, where you eat a certain food, you test your blood sugar 2 hours later, and you see if it has remained too high. And then that tells you that's not good for your body. And every person, you guys, is going to be different. And so don't think that because Joanne at work lost 50 pounds on keto, that that's going to be the diet for you. And don't be discouraged if you go ahead and try that and it doesn't work for you, because there's so many factors. If you're in that adrenal insufficient state and you've got a low thyroid, which tends to go hand in hand, going on a low-carb ketogenic intermittent fasting diet is going to make you gain weight, or is going to just trash your hormonal system. It's going to be the worst thing for you. On the flip side, if you're insulin resistant or type 2 diabetic, maybe you've got PCOS, estrogen dominance, well, going keto for a period of time or carnivore can be life-changing and can completely reverse that insulin resistance very quickly for some people. So you just need to be very open mind going, okay, what works for me and what doesn't. If you start doing carb tolerance testing, you'd be shocked at the difference in what people will react to. Like I've seen people that, you know, they'll react to brown rice, but then they won't react to ice cream. Like just weird things like that. Like every single person is going to be different. And so you need to just stay open-minded to finding what's going to work for your body at this time.
I love that. That was so well explained. As we conclude here, let me just kind of, since I took so many notes, let me kind of just briefly go over what we covered. So when it comes to testing saliva during cycling, blood while you are premenopausal and menopausal, where do they get saliva tests?
I sell saliva tests myself online, but there's other people that sell them that you can get online.
What company do you use?
ZRT.
Yes, me too. Awesome.
Yeah, it's okay. The best one.
Yeah, I agree. I get people who use Dutch. I'm like, I want ZRT. Okay. Yeah. Then we do adrenal fatigue. One of the ways that I know I talk to people about adrenal fatigue is if you go to bed at night and you are physically exhausted, but your mind is racing a million miles an hour, that's a good sign that cortisol is too high and you're setting yourself up to fail for weight loss, and according to adrenal fatigue.
Yeah. Can I just throw into that too? Because we didn't actually discuss this, because we said it's not good to go do serum and we didn't say why, which is there's a cortisol clock, a circadian rhythm.
Yes.
Your cortisol is supposed to be high for the first half of the day, and then it's supposed to taper down as you go to bed. So it's supposed to do this. You could go do this snapshot in time of your cortisol. Let's say you go get your blood work done at 9 a.m. and it looks like it's high. You're going to be like, oh yeah, great. Well, what if it stayed high for the entire day? That's not good. Or vice versa. Maybe it's too low. And then I've seen people way too low in the first half of the day and too high in the second half. So you need to switch that around. And it's a completely different protocol, at least in my world, for low versus high. So sometimes you have to take certain supplements at one part of the day to up the cortisol, and then other ones at the other half of the day to lower them, or vice versa. So it's a very delicate protocol to heal someone's cortisol clock. So you don't want to mess with that. So if you can only afford the serum through the doctor for your other hormones, at least get the cortisol, the adrenal test for your 4-point cortisol test. So we'll test it 4 points in the day, and it'll also test your DHEA, which is also an adrenal hormone.
Yeah. And it's simple, spit into a tube. It's so easy. I'm guessing you have a podcast episode that dives into more adrenal fatigue.
Yeah, I got a 2-part series on stress, which is all about it. Yeah.
Okay. Mine is episode 3 on anxiety and depression. I correlate high cortisol levels with that aspect.
Yeah.
So check it out, guys. The other side of weight loss, we'll teach you more about adrenal fatigue. And then as we dove into the end here, talking about weight loss resistance, I'm a big, big fan of anti-inflammatory type diets, as well as Erin sounds like with the paleo anti-inflammatory. But really do what your body needs. And then, of course, never calorie count.
Yeah. I think that calorie counting has its place. If somebody's, you know, they've kind of done it all, or they're trying to lose the weight and they're not sure if they're eating too much or eating too little, that I see a lot of that right now because of the fasting world, then, you know, do a calorie count for each day for a week just to see where your calories are at. I've worked with countless women who are on this, you know, one meal a day fad, or they're fasting every single day and eating 2 meals a day. And I'm like, you've been eating 700 calories a day for the last year, and you're wondering why you have no period and your hair is falling out. Mm-hmm. So there's a place for it, but it's not the end all be all.
Yeah. Quick story here. I was in high school. I have 3 younger brothers, and all of them have run collegiate track in D1 schools. And so I've been to lots and lots of track meets. I would go to a track meet when the youngest brother was in high school, and the coach brought me over 3 girls. And he said, have a seat with her ladies. And then I know what I have to talk to them about, food. One of the girls, she is a senior in high school, runs cross country. She has multiple stress fractures in her femurs, the largest bone in her body. She's got stress fractures. Okay. So I start talking to her about food, and she says, well, I eat 1500 calories a day. I stopped her. I said, if you were to sit on your butt and do absolutely nothing all day long, your body would burn 1500 calories a day. You are running 8 to 10 to 15 miles a day. Your body is eating itself, literally. Hence the stress fractures. So if you want to finish your season out, or if you even want to run, have any chance of being able to exercise in the future, eat some food. And she's like, well, I eat rice cakes. I'm like, okay, that's great. Eat rice cakes, but plaster peanut butter on them, plaster bananas, like load this stuff up. And it was just, in her eyes, the 2000 calorie limit was scary, because around in Americans are obese. And that's what we're told is 2000 calories a day. So in her eyes, I need to eat less so I cannot be obese. But for her physical body and for the demand she was placing upon it, it was literally breaking down and eating bone. So
yeah, exactly.
That crazy. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. If you learned something, guys, shoot me what your key takeaway was in the comments below. Send a review over in the podcast. We love reviews. And then, of course, go check Karen's podcast out, The Other Side of Weight Loss. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from Karen again sometime soon.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Kelly.
I hope you all took notes. Write down your 3 key takeaways. Was it the saliva blood testing? Was it the fact that you really don't need to exercise as hard as you think you do, because it might be doing more harm than good? Think about it. What are the 3 key takeaways that you learned? How can you start balancing your hormones by making a few simple life changes and not having to rely on the pills, the pellets, or the creams? Remember, weight loss is tricky. Don't get frustrated by your journey, whatever your journey is. And don't solely think that it's your inability to control yourself with what you eat and to have the motivation to exercise. Weight loss goes far beyond diet and exercise. I hope you have now confirmed this and learned this. And please share this with your friends. Don't let your best friend try the next dieting scheme out there without knowing how to help her hormones balance and feel better overall. So then when she feels better, she has the energy to go to the gym and is successful. That's how weight loss truly works. Share away.